Where do they go? That was the repeated question throughout this evening's debate on the Sinn Féin motion to the extending the eviction ban to January. The answer to that question is uncertain as the government faces a vote tomorrow and a possible vote of no confidence motion next week. Gabia, how did the debate go earlier this evening?
Look, it was a very lively and passionate debate, and I think, you know, the Sinn Féin have certainly carved out housing as, you know, post-pandemic, it's very much their number one issue. And you could see that in the Dáil tonight. Obviously, you know, it was Eoin Ó Briain that was leading it. He's saying the government's going to be responsible for thousands of people being made homeless. Piers Doherty, branding minister for housing, Dara O'Brien as the minister for homelessness. Thomas Gould was sitting here close to me. You know, he made a very impassionate plea. He's saying that the government, you know, anyone who doesn't support the Sinn Féin motion to extend the eviction ban, you know, you're betraying vulnerable people. He's citing people in his constituency, one of them who's, I think, is cancer. They're being evicted shortly. And the government is really coming under a lot of pressure on this. And you can see that, like, even, you know, if you look at cabinet, ministers have raised many concerns with it, causing ruckus within the Green Party. And it was very much visible in the Dáil tonight. Even Matthew McGrath saying the government is coming out with fake news when it comes to their housing proposals. It's a topical issue, but I think it's important that it's one that is not solved overnight. You know, the one sort of push that the government is pushing back against Sinn Féin, they're saying, well, you want to extend the ban until January 31st. But it just means that this very same debate that we're having here today, we're going to be having that January 31st in the middle of winter. So what's your alternative to that? And then, of course, Sinn Féin are saying you should put in all those measures that we've been asking you to do for a very long time. Look, it's not going away anytime soon. It's putting a lot of pressure on the government. The vote is tomorrow. The debate was tonight. And, you know, it was really quite impassionate. And I think it was an example, actually, of politics working like it's supposed to, because it very much represents the vulnerable people. The vulnerable people are the ones that are about to lose their homes, and they were very much getting a voice in the Dáil tonight.
OK, well, let's get a flavour of the debate. We'll start with Dara O'Brien, the Housing Minister, and some of his response to the motion tonight.
At the crux of everything we do is the need to increase supply of housing. Extending the eviction ban would not do that. If we were to do, as Sinn Féin asked, and extend the moratorium to the end of January, we would only serve to shrink the number of homes available to rent. If we were to do what they are asking, we would only be having this very same debate in the middle of winter. And if we were to do as you are asking, there would be no phasing out period, rather a hard cliff edge of evictions in the weeks after Christmas, as you've proposed.
And that was Dara O'Brien, the Housing Minister. Well, James Lawless, to you first, your party colleague there, Dara O'Brien, speaking. The rationale for getting rid of the eviction ban, according to the government, was it wasn't working to keep people out of homelessness. How do they know that?
They know it from the figures, but before I get into that, the debate tonight, I printed out the motion before the debate kicked off in the chamber. It came up on the Dáil in-house website, the motion proposed by Sinn Féin and the amendments from Regional Group and others, and then the government counter motion. And there's an old phrase that you campaign in poetry, which you govern in prose. And I think the complexities of this issue, as opposed to the sloganeering of Sinn Féin and others, are highlighted by the fact that the Sinn Féin motion runs to a bare half a page on my notes that I printed very quickly before I went into the debate. The government counter motion runs to 6 pages.
Right.
And that in itself just tells me volumes about what's going on here.
But there's another old maxim that it's harder to write a shorter letter than it is to write a long one. So going back to my initial question, the rationale for getting rid of this is that it wasn't working to reduce homelessness.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the case. I think the rationale for getting rid of it is that it was always intended to be a temporary measure, okay? So the clue is in the name, the winter evictions ban. It wasn't the 12-month all-year-round evictions ban. It was the winter evictions ban, okay? So they would follow a parallel, a system that is used in France, for example. It's used around the continent. It would be common in many jurisdictions that they would bring in a temporary kind of hiatus or protection period or window through the dark, difficult winter months and say, look, people, regardless of your situation, regardless whether the house is being sold or the landlord wants to get out or there's been a death in the family or a family breakdown or all the different complicated situations that we know can occur in families or in property owners or indeed in any family. And they said, look, that's all put on hold through, to get through the winter. But just so people know what's going to come down the track, there will be an opportunity to regularise your situation. And if you're a widow who wants to sell a property, if you have a property inherited, if you're going through a family breakdown and you're separating or divorcing from your spouse, you need the property back. For our student going to college, many of these reasons, I just simply want to sell it. And at the end of the day, there has to be some value on private property. If you own something, you should have a right to sell it. So they say, look, that can be done in the summer months. And then when we go back to winter in the difficult period, we press pause and press the freeze button again. That was the intention of this measure. That's what's been done. It did protect people through those difficult dark winter months. But the government has to be sincere and has to be true to its word. When it said, and when all the parties in the Dáil voted for it in September, it was to be phased out from the end of March. That's exactly what's happening here. And there's a lot of temperature being ratcheted up and a lot of emotion and intensity being thrown around the chamber, particularly by opposition deputies. But this is not going to be a cliff edge in 2 weeks' time either. I think we have to be really clear about that because it could frighten people. This is going to be, it rolls out until the end of June. I think it's the 16th of June. So on a fortnightly basis, there are different measures that will kick in. The ending of it is on a phased, staggered basis. But most importantly, this problem will be solved. To avoid this being a problem next winter, it's supply. The government in 2023 will build 12,000 social houses. That's more than any year since 1975. And I wasn't even born then. Okay, historic.
Sure, which begs the question, because you're going through that counter motion, as I did earlier, the text of it. It says, while the eviction moratorium slowed down the numbers entering homelessness, it didn't prevent it. But it does acknowledge that it slowed down the numbers entering homelessness.
Yeah.
So if you're confident in your own supply targets and if you're confident in meeting your own supply targets, why not extend it a bit further when the market might be in a bit better shape in six months' time?
So I suppose you get to a position then we say, well, when do we stop it? So we could take the Sinn Féin solution, which is to stop it next December. I think it's January now. They've changed their mind and pushed it out by a couple of weeks in the depths of next winter. Okay, we all know that's actually not going to happen. Well, I don't think it's plausible or credible, but if it would, that's not a good idea. I think in reality what would happen probably would be rolled over again. Ultimately, we need to get back to supply. So we're delivering social housing, we're delivering affordable housing.
Okay.
But we also need to supply rented accommodation, because at the end of the day, people that are renting, tenants, need somewhere to rent. And if there isn't somewhere to rent it to them, so we have to get to a situation where we hear a lot about vacancy. I'll just finish this point.
We'll come back to you on that, because I want to...
House will stay vacant if the regulatory regime gets too stringent.
I want to go to Thomas Gould on this. James Lawless says there, Thomas Gould, there's no cliff edge.
Yeah, well, James isn't living in a real world, to be honest. I just listened to James there waffle on, mother of God almighty, does the man know what's happening at all in the ground? I had a clinic on Monday, my clinic every Monday and Friday. Like, I'm not sure who's coming to James's clinic or Fianna Gael or Fianna Fáil clinics. There are people's lives.
We're going to let everybody speak because we did have a passion debate in the Dáil earlier, but everybody's going to get their chance here. You had a good run, and everybody's going to get a good run. We're going to give it plenty of time. We're not going to talk across each other. Thomas Gould.
So, GM's attitude and the way he spoke and the way the minister spoke tonight is the heart of the problem. We have people now. I'm dealing with people. Ordinary families, people. You see, one time homelessness was people who are down in their luck, people under throes of addiction or mental health. I have a nurse and a teacher who are becoming homeless in April. A nurse and a teacher who are becoming homeless. I was talking to members of the Garda Síochána Corner who are leaving the Gards because they cannot find affordable rented accommodation. I have a lady who's undergoing chemo treatment, herself, her husband and child, are going to be evicted soon. I have another lady that I spoke to, the Taoiseach, about today, who's got stage 4 COPD, is on oxygen, is on a walker. And I asked the Taoiseach, as a doctor, the consequences of her being evicted in April. And we have James coming on here now. No disrespect to the man, he's in cuckoo land. People are going to be homeless in April, May, June, July and August. Homeless figures will go up. I have a simple question for James here. At what stage must it take 4,000 children, 5,000 children? At what stage will this government admit that they can't deal with this? How many children must be homeless?
Okay, James Laws, we'll
go back. The question posed to me, so do I get...
I'll ask you, there is an estimate, and I think Thomas Gould's party colleagues, that there's 3,000 eviction notices. That was raised at the debate today. 3,000 eviction notices due to come on stream in the coming months. I mean, it mightn't be a cliff edge amounting to 10,000 people or 12,000 people, yeah. but if 3,000 people get eviction notices and those eviction notices are actioned and they don't overhold, is that not enough of a problem to extend this to extend the moratorium for?
So I think what's being done here cleverly and understandably from a political perspective by the opposition is to ratchet up to emotions and temperature around one vote and one item and use emotive historical language like evictions and landlords and cast everybody on the other side of the argument into the wilderness as evil, uncaring misers up in a palace or something. In reality, there's a huge complexity to this and there's a breadth to this solution. And I'm going for the, I'm just going to repeat myself, it goes back to supply. We need supply in public bills, we need supply in cost rental accommodation, we need supply in the private sector, and we need supply in the private rented sector. Now, how do we get there? And of course, 3,000 people in homelessness are 300 people, three people is not enough. And Thomas might be surprised here. I also do clinics and I also deal with people on a daily basis, including today. So what we tell them in this situation is if there are people, first of all, it's not a surprise that the number of term notices will be increased after a period of a ban because they're backed up because they haven't been served over the last 6 months, of course. So there's going to be a number that are working their way through. But the reason, let's see, why would people be doing that? The only reason a landlord would be doing that is to sell the property. They're not going to put up the rent. They can't because of RPZs. So that's not a reason. It's completely true. It's the law. So the RPZs have 2% max. Maybe Thomas doesn't get the law, but I can explain it to him.
RPZs is 2%. But he doesn't count. Is that
all right? Hang on a second. So if people come into your clinic, we're not going to talk. Thomas Goode, we're not going to talk across each other. Everybody's going to get a chance. Kian O'Callaghan has to come in here in a minute. But James Lawless, just on that point, people who come into your clinic and say, I am worried about this eviction notice I have got.
Absolutely.
Have you had people in and what have you told them?
Yeah, I've had a couple. Yeah, of course I have. But I've been dealing with homelessness and housing situations for over 10 years as a public representative. The situation has gotten worse and is on the cusp, I hope, of getting better. But again, that goes back to... But to take the immediate point, okay, how do we deal with it? There are three solutions on the table right now from the government. There is the HAP scheme. So if people are in a HAP tenancy, the government has given funding to local authorities to buy that property so that the tenant can remain in situ as a HAP tenant. That's one option. Second option is the right of refusal. So if a landlord is selling a property right now, then the tenant can be given first refusal on buying it through an independent valuation. That's the second option. And the third option is that the state, if the tenant and the tenant is entitled to use the first home scheme, the first equity scheme, all the other supports that are available for someone making a home purchase, if they are not in a position financially to make that leap, even with those supports in place, the government will step in and buy it for them on a cost rental basis. So there's three options: the HAP scheme, the cost rental, and the private purchase.
Kian O'Callaghan, are the opposition unnecessarily scaring people when the government is putting forward solutions like James Lawless is putting forward?
No, the situation unfortunately is that a lot of people are very scared of the situation presently. That's nothing to do with anyone involved in politics. It's the reality of their lives. A few years ago, when people got an eviction notice, a notice to quit, they often had some other options. They knew that they might be difficult to find somewhere else, but they had some ability to find somewhere else to live. Now we're in a situation where, for most people who get an eviction notice, there really is no other options. They will not be able to find somewhere to live. They are absolutely scared in terms of what this will mean for them and their families. They're scared of you know, their children in their schools who've been developing over the last number of years, who maybe children with learning difficulties, who've gotten supports with SNAs, who've made friends, often with difficulties, wherever in their schools, have bedded in, got all that support. And what an eviction notice might do to uprooting them from their community, having to start all over, where will they go? People who've had to move out of, you know, crowded family homes of their parents in the past, thinking, will I have to go back to that situation, even though there's just no room for us there? Didn't work out. It was too stressful. It put us all under, had mental health implications. So this isn't something manufactured by anyone in politics. This is something very, very real. And to be frank, to hear a government representative try and say, oh, our motion is 6 pages, the Sinn Féin motion is only half pages. Doesn't matter how long a motion is or isn't, that's irrelevant. It's what is going to be done now to help people in this situation. That's what is important. And just have to make this point, most European countries, we wouldn't be having a debate like this because renters in most European countries who pay their rent are not evicted End of story. We have a situation where we have very high rents and very low levels of security for renters. We're really out of line with most of Europe. When we're talking about temporary eviction bans in other European countries, they're brought in often for people who are falling behind in their rent or aren't making rent payments. That's what we're talking about. It's a very different situation here. There's no protection under this temporary eviction ban for people falling behind on rent. It's much more limited. And we actually need to get out of these kind of temporary measures and these different cliff edges and, you know, shoehorning people into you know, extra eviction notices when they come to an end. And we need to be talking about what are the permanent reforms that can be done to create a vibrant rental sector here. Yeah. And, you know, just to say, the countries in Europe with the largest private rental sectors are also very well regulated in terms of rents and also in terms of rights, security, tenure, rent for renters. So why aren't we talking about this and why can't we do that?
I think that's actually the key issue there, is that previously, if you were evicted, there would have been enough housing one way or another. You might have spent a couple of weeks going through Daft, you know, endlessly searching, but you would have found something eventually. The key point that Cian makes there is that actually now there's just that capacity is not there. There is no availability of homes. And just to pick up on something that James has said, and I've heard government say this a couple of times, and if you don't mind, I'll pose the question to you, James, is this thing of supply. During the Celtic Tiger years, we saw about 50,000 homes being built. That was a great supply of housing, and that's really what we should be aiming towards now. Mm. But during the Celtic Tiger years, prices were extremely high, just like they are now. Mm. So why does government say that where if we have, you know, if we increase our housing targets, we build so many more homes, that will bring down prices? Because that did not happen during the Celtic Tiger. So why should it happen now?
Yeah, so, okay, so I think the reason we need to have additional supply now is because there's a chronic shortage. Okay, so there's a massive demand which supply can't meet.
But will it bring down house prices?
I think the laws of economics would suggest that the greater supply you have, the greater, you know, the price is going to drop. But what's more important than house prices is people actually being able to get their hands on a house, whether that's to rent or to buy or whatever. People, as Cian rightly said, there aren't, that's an issue I find on a day-to-day basis as well. When people come in with on the brink of homelessness or trying to find a new property, it's really difficult to assist them. And that's been the way for several years. And I think it has gotten worse. But the point detail, and the reason I mentioned the six-page motion is because they're the kind of answers that we're putting forward in the motion. So fixity of tenure, a fair tenure, that is, I completely agree with that. That's exactly the kind of thing. So if people are in a five-year or 10-year long lease, makes perfect sense, then an eviction, imminent eviction, is never a threat in the first place because there's a 10-year lease. And about the same token, the person renting the property can say, look, I'm going to sign up to this for 10 years. At the end of it, the family situation, whatever it will
okay,
be.
But
I
want to come back.
I want to come back
to the present day on this. We have over 11,700 people already in homelessness, 3,000 eviction notices. There's some more figures. 17 local authorities say they have nothing to offer people. Another 5 say their space is extremely limited.
Yeah.
So local authorities in this situation are limited. They're more limited because of the availability of hotel rooms as we come into the tourist season.
Yeah.
So again, what is the solution for people post-April 1st?
So it was one of the reasons that we in Fianna Fáil wanted to go into government in 2020, having been out of government for the previous 10 years, is to grasp this by the neck and try and do something with it. Coming from a decade of undersupply, chronic undersupply, almost no social housing built in that 10 years. Last year, 2022, there were 6,000 new builds in social housing, 5,000 which were brand new, another 1,000 came in through acquisitions. That's 6,000. As I say, next year will be 12,000, 2023, the highest number of new social homes since 1975. That's Fianna Fáil in government delivering on its promises. It does take time. It takes a while to work its way through. But we are already, if we look at last year, 20,000 to 30,000
sure,
year on year.
But you seem very confident in meeting those targets, which again begs the question.
Well, we are. I mean, the proof is in the pudding.
But why not extend this ban until such time as you have done even more according to the targets? You're confident in meeting them. So why not extend the ban a bit more in order to do more of that building?
Well, I'll put it another way. Why not allow people, why not stick to the word of everybody who voted for that motion in the Dáil last September, which was across parties, which said that it would be phased out in the spring. And let's look at it again if it needs to be in the autumn. Let's look at it again as many other jurisdictions do. Let's look at it. Let's allow people to regularise the situation. If people are stuck in negative equity or stuck in an inheritance trap or a death in the family, whatever the many reasons that people want to dispose of a property, I do think it's a significant minority of the number of places that are let it. And then let's look at this in the autumn. And if there's a need to do another winter evictions ban, would you be as they do in France, hang on a second, and roll it over.
Thomas Gould.
Just to pick James up on a few points, right?
Everyone's picking me up on points.
People regularising. If you're homeless, so you can't regularise being homeless. Like, like, what does James mean by that? You regularise your situation. You're evicted. You're homeless. You're going to homeless accommodation.
Okay,
or you're going back, if I can finish, you're going back living with parents or grandparents. Like, James also made a point of Fianna Fáil were out of government for 10 years. They kept Fianna Gael in power for 4 years with confidence and supply. Didn't open their mouth about housing. So, am
but
I
you're keeping Fianna Fáil, Fianna Gael and the Greens in power.
How are we keeping them in power?
Because you're the opposition. If you want them out of government, why don't you put down a motion, no confidence in the government?
Well, listen, that's what we might have to do after tomorrow night when we see the proof.
Well, the last time they lost by over
20 votes.
But
if I can finish just on James's point, just to give James a flavour, to touch of reality. In Cork, 74% of people who are homeless over 6 months. They weren't 6 days.
So before the eviction ban, that's interesting.
Yeah, 74%
of people. You're proving the point there, I think.
If you let me finish, James. What the eviction ban has done, it has slowed the rate of homelessness. What this lifting of the eviction ban will do is increase the rate. I asked James a question a while ago, he refuses to answer. At what level must homelessness reach before Fianna Fáil and this government admit that...
Well,
and can I say this now? We have 3,500 children now who are homeless. Must it be 4,000? Must it be 4,500? Must it be... Is there any figure will they will admit that they're wrong? And
okay, all right. No. James Lawless, do you want to respond to that before we go to Cian O'Connor?
Thomas has asked so many questions and he's talking about...
What about that one?
I'm not sure what the latest question is.
All right, grand. Okay.
Okay. Look, we can talk emotion and we can talk the micro all night. The most important thing is the macro. The macro is 4 billion every year, multi-annual, over 10 years.
Didn't spend the billion last year? There was a billion they actually did.
All right. The local authorities didn't spend all the money outside.
Cian O'Callaghan, do you take on board the additional social homes that have been put on in terms of supply? Do you think things are going in the right direction? Do you think we're anywhere approach a corner being turned, as the Taoiseach said last week?
No, unfortunately, corner hasn't been turned. The situation is continuing to get worse. Homelessness is going up every month. Rents are at record levels. House prices have reached record levels. And the government hasn't actually met any of their targets on social homes, cost rental or affordable purchase homes. We were promised in the last election by Fianna Fáil, by Dara Bryan in the last election, 20,000 social, affordable and cost rental homes a year. We have so far under this government somewhere in the region of about 1,000 cost rental tenancies been approved but not actually all been moved in or actually tenanted. And in terms of affordable purchase, we're at much lower numbers than that. They won't tell us, they won't even give us an estimate on the numbers for this year, but it's not looking positive at all. And we actually need to have thousands of those. And it was done quite successfully in the past as well. If you look at, you know, my constituency, Merino was built 100 years ago, affordable purchase housing, a very successful community that gave people who maybe didn't qualify for social housing but wouldn't have been able to afford to buy a home at the full market rates, gave them options. It gives, you know, and there's vibrant communities built from that and gives people stability on that. Just want to make one point. I mean, James seems to be talking about, oh, we'll let the eviction ban lapse so that landlords can sell up and then sure, maybe we'll look at it again next winter. That doesn't make any sense. And in any event, if a landlord needs to sell or wants to sell, they should be able to do that. But a renter who's paying their rent should be able to stay in their home. That is the European norm. And if we did that, because most people who end up in homelessness, their last stable home was in the private rent sector. So if we gave that stability that landlords were able to sell, renters were able to stay in their homes, then a lot of this strife and a lot of this trauma could actually be reduced. And we'd have a more mature rental sector. And finally, I just want to say, in terms of emergency accommodation, the conditions in some emergency accommodation for homeless people are absolutely appalling. They are really, really shocking, dehumanising. People in rooms without windows, people without any lockers being able to lock away any of their personal possessions, people, you know, being robbed, assaulted. And, you know, people trying to hold down jobs while living in these terrible conditions. So this thing from the government of, oh, what have you done for the eviction ban? Oh, we've more emergency accommodation place, which isn't even true. But as if that's some sort of solution, it absolutely is not.
I just want to go to the listeners. I'll come back to you then. Somebody texting into 51551 says, a lad here in Loughrea lost his flat last week, presented himself as homeless to the council. He was told to go into the hostel in Galway. He's on illness benefits, says Nick, a texter there. Housing is unfortunately seen as an investment, not a right. Rents are too expensive, says another texter. If people rent out property to make money, they need to accept the tenants of rights. If they want to sell, they should sell them with the tenant in situ. And Marie in Limerick says, will you please ask your guests to modernise their language? Landlord is pre-famine. In 2023, a property owner is more appropriate. And we have a couple of lengthier ones that we may not get to there. Eviction ban is not the end goal. What the government could do while the eviction ban is in place is the end goal. The government have ripped off the plaster because it hasn't fixed the problem when it was only designed to stop the bleeding, says Porrick. I suppose just to get back to the role of the eviction ban, though, James Lawless, whether or not there was a commitment made to let it lapse or not, there are other pieces of legislation like, you know, the Offences Against the State Act, which get extended on a regular basis and with some debate. Why is the moratorium on evictions the particular target, the particular lever that's been pulled? I mean, homelessness has gone up despite the social houses being built that you're talking about. Homelessness has gone up despite the 2% limit on rents in rent pressure zones. There are lots of other things that have happened along, or lots of other policies that have been put in place, and still homelessness has gone up. Why get rid of this one?
Yeah, so there are often legislative provisions that have sunset clauses or midnight clauses, or whatever we want to call them. That the COVID legislation had a built-in expiration. You know, it was renewed a couple of times because the emergency was still there. The cost of living supports, the energy credits are something that were put in place over the winter again. There probably is going to be another cost of living energy credit in late spring, early summer, but the energy credit is not going to be there forever. Certainly, that's not my understanding. In a similar way, it was done as something to try and help people get through a difficult time. The eviction ban was brought in for the same reason, coupled with the cost of living suppressions that came into being last year. So it was intended as a temporary measure. That was baked in from the start in terms of how the legislation was drafted, phrased, and how it was voted through the Dáil. Just to pick up on something that Cian said, in terms of tenants should be able to stay on the property, and I completely agree. And that's what I was saying earlier, and that's why I do refer to the six pages, because there's detail in our motion, and I suppose that detail is also Housing for All. And some of the opposition speakers tonight in the Dáil were talking about, we need this great housing plan. We have it. It's called Housing for All. And in terms of a tenant staying at the property, the three options that I mentioned, the local authority buying the property and becoming a HAP rental, the local authority buying the property and becoming a cost rental, or first refusal going to the tenant. In all three of those scenarios, the tenant does stay in the home.
Okay. I want to go back to tonight's debate, because Richard Boyd-Barrett made an intervention. Just, you mentioned the role of local authorities there and local authorities buying houses and the like. Mm. Let's hear from what he had to say about some of the examples he's encountered about how local authorities have treated tenants who've found themselves in difficulty.
They're not happening if you're overhoused. You've got too many rooms in your house for the number of people. They're not happening if you're underhoused. You're overcrowded. Oh, we couldn't possibly buy that house. We couldn't possibly buy it if you are in a HAP tenancy in a different constituency from the one where you're on the housing list. No, couldn't possibly do that. Couldn't possibly do it if it's too expensive. No, we couldn't possibly do that either. We couldn't possibly do it if you're over the social housing income threshold. Oh, maybe we might go for a local authority home loan. Oh, but wait, you're 57 or 58. The most we'll give you in a loan is 70 or 80,000. Not much help there.
Just briefly on that, James Lawless, what he's talking about there is the difficulties local authorities have seem to navigating the individual circumstances of people who find themselves in difficult situations. Mm. Is there not an argument for ironing out some of those problems before lifting the moratorium?
Look, there's an argument
evictions.
For ironing out those problems and many other problems. Let's be honest here. I'm not walking into the studio saying everything is perfect. You know, there's nothing to see here. All I'm saying is we have a multi-dynamic, multi-stranded difficulty here across many levels, and it's going to require that degree of engagement to fix it, and it's going to take years to fix it, and that's what the government's trying to do. But as regards local authorities, yeah, they have a lot of work to do as well. They really do. The example that Deputy Boyd Barrett made, I've seen that myself as well, where a tenant, in my case, it might be in Meath, across the border to Kildare, or down across the border to Laois, and they're trying to transfer. And I've had numerous people try to help them with those applications and saying, And in some cases, they're told, oh, you start again. You were in 7,000 place in Laois, but now you're going to be in 10,000 place in Kildare. Or even worse, you've climbed the ladder and now you're actually getting inside of a property. But all of a sudden,
why not sort out some of those issues before putting people more at risk of eviction?
Okay, so let's just play this forward, okay? So if this is kept intact, it means that no property owner, as that your texter rightly said, can sell that property pretty much ever, okay, for the time this is in being. That is not going to be a way to encourage people into provision of accommodation. The person that, when a parent dies or goes into a nursing home, is not going to rent it out. The person that gets married or gets into a relationship and is a previous apartment belonging to one or the other of them is not going to rent it out. All those different scenarios, the majority of landlords, or as that lady's property owners in Ireland, are small mom and pop landlords. The institutional investors are a whole other day's work, but that's not even 50%. You know, that's the majority are people who put a retirement bid together, all right, accidentally Thomas in her place, all these things.
Just to correct a few points, and this goes to the core of the problem here. James is talking about the Fair Deal scheme and how people can't rent out their homes. When Simon Coveney was the Minister for Housing, I went to Simon when he came to Cork and I said, listen, there are thousands of houses here. I've met with Age Action and other advocacy groups for the elderly to say, if you rent out a property now and you're in a nursing home, the HSE want 80% of the rent live into income. The minister brought in a rule last year to reduce it to 40, which he never delivered. What we are saying, reduce it to zero. Get these thousands of houses that are out there that can be lived in right now. Right where I am in Cathedral Row in Granbrachar, there are three widows in three nursing homes with three houses that you could walk a family into tomorrow. And this government have been talking about, they've looked at it more times now. And just a few things. We talk about targets, right? And Cian would tell you, we're on the housing committee together. We had the CCMA and the Department of Housing in today, right? Like, you're talking about local authorities.
This is the County Council Managers Association, yeah.
They were in the dial today in the housing, right? They're short hundreds of staff. So James is coming on here saying, listen, happy days, we can buy it with the tenant in situ, they can buy it and it can be cost rental. They don't have the engineers, they don't have the procurement, they don't have... There's a complete lack of staffing. And James is... You see, I put it this way. What we could have done is extended the ban to the end of January next year, put all these things in place, and then over the next couple of months, came up with solutions. And the last point I would make here, and in relation to the document, the 60-page document James is on about, the regional independence wrote the government's motion. Like, has this government any shame when it took a couple of independents to put a motion together? And that's the only reason keeping this government in place tonight.
That's just completely incorrect. That's not true.
I'll come back to you on that.
Just on the Housing Committee, if you don't mind, because I did watch the proceedings and I actually think Thomas makes a good point there. The City and County Managers Association, which represents basically local authorities, were in before the Dáil's Housing Committee talking about the tenant in situ scheme. And this is actually very interesting. So the tenant in situ scheme works through if you are somebody who's eligible for social housing, you're living in a property, your landlord says, I'm going to sell up. They put in an eviction notice, the local authority then can step up and basically buy the property from the landlord or the property owner. The City and County Managers Association made this point, which I think gets lost in the debate a little bit. One of the concerns that they raised with the tenant in situ scheme, which in fairness, like both by government and by opposition, it's been hailed as this is kind of the way forward to help those desperate tenants. They're saying that, look, this actually, one of the challenges that it has is that it actually takes the first time buyer, they don't get a say in that property at all. So, okay, you are keeping somebody who's at risk of homelessness in the property, it's social housing, but the first time buyer doesn't get an opportunity to have a look inside the property at all. Also, this sort of moral debate, and Cian was having a conversation with this as well, with the association at the committee, is just this moral conundrum that local authorities face of having to say, okay, here's a family, they've been on the council waiting list for 2 years, they're currently privately renting, they might be made homeless soon, we're going to buy that property. But is it right to buy that property, keep them in it, when there's somebody else here, I think, who's been on the social housing waiting list for maybe 10 years? That's a conundrum that local authorities have to face as well.
Cian O'Callaghan, were you following the proceedings there? Dublin City Council said it had been allocated funding to buy 400 properties. I think your own local council, Fingal, 125 homes. Is it the time to increase those allocations to allow them to buy more? Or is that going to put pressure on local authorities, or put pressure on the housing market, where local authorities are entering in effectively in competition with people who are trying to buy in the private sector?
See, I don't, and about local authorities are in my constituency, Dublin City Council and Fingal, I don't think it's a issue of competition here, because we're talking about, these are homes that have a renter in it. And actually a lot of landlords, and all of us as public reps would know this, a lot of landlords want to avail of the tenant in situ scheme. They're saying that they need to sell, they want to sell, they don't want to evict their tenants. And they've actually been finding it very hard to avail of the tenant in situ scheme, hard to negotiate their way around it, who to contact, contacting councils, saying I'm interested, not hearing anything back. The council's making...
And the council says it takes months, according to Dublin City Council. Well,
to progress the whole thing takes months, just the same as buying any house. And anyone involved in buying or selling a house would know that. The problem for some landlords is it can take months not to hear anything from the local authority. You know, some landlords have said, look, I'm going to sell, I'm going to have to evict my tenants if I can't agree this. But the council says, well, until you issue an eviction notice, we won't even talk to you about this. And then that's creating trauma and stress for the renters that the landlord is trying to avoid. And they're being told flat out, you know, until you actually threaten them with eviction, we won't even discuss this matter with you at all. The City and County Managers Association were very clear today that this scheme has been operated in different ways in every local authority with different standards, different levels of discretion, that's not been applied on a uniform basis, a fair basis, an objective basis, or, you know, anything like that. They were very, very clear about this. So we keep on hearing from the government, oh, the tenant in situ scheme, blah, 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 this is what we're doing. But then we're hearing from the people actually charged with implementing this on the ground, saying, actually, there's a whole range of issues here and we are implementing this in a different way across the country. So that has to be given coherency. And out of the three schemes the government is promising on this in terms of the eviction ban, only one is up and running, the tenant in situ for people on the housing waiting lists. And that is not working properly as of yet. There isn't even a proper point of contact in each local authority for a landlord or tenant to go to that's advertised. That's not even in place yet. These are the real basic things that should have been in place months and months ago.
So James Lawless, if the tenant in situ scheme is a core plank of the government's solution post April 1st, would a standardised approach not be better across at least some level of coordination, clear criteria for local authorities to abide by that are directed by government with a policy goal in mind of bringing down homelessness and preventing people entering into homelessness?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of work to be done in local authorities across the board in every way. We're underrepresented in local authorities as well by all kind of European norms. Local authority was hollowed out by, I think it was Phil Hogan when he was Minister for Environment back around 2014. It's probably still in recovery. But the government has given local authority supports in many ways. 100 million was pledged last year, 96 of which was spent in terms of legacy acquisitions, where there were land banks that were available for social housing that had been, or ransom strips or lands for local infrastructure, so the LIHA Fund, for example. But the minister has again, and I share the minister's frustration sometimes with local authorities, he's again written to local authorities, I think it was either this week or last week, asking for a report by the end of this month. So that's it, by the end of March, to say exactly where they're at with this, because the expectation and the direction they were given was this should be in place by now. So he has again written to them, I know, and asked them, look, I want a breakdown. Each individual local authority, where are you at with this? Because there's no excuse at this stage for not having it ready to
all
go.
Right, Thomas Gould.
The thing on that, right? The minister lifts the eviction ban on the 1st of April, and he writes to the local authorities to get their report on the 31st of March. What was the minister doing for 6 months? This report should have been done 6 months ago. And this is all the essential part of our argument. Let's put the eviction ban back in place until the end of January next year. During that time, we get those reports, we're able to do an analysis. Like, Cian made a point, we're in the housing committee, none of the local authorities are ready for this. They don't have the tenant in the situ scheme up and running across the board, the cost rental. Like, these are all pie in the sky. And listen, if we can deliver them, we'll work with the government to deliver them. But the point is, they're not ready on the 1st of April. So if they're not ready, and this is the other point I'd like to make to James, the government hit its targets of 30,000. And Gabby said earlier, going back 20 years ago, there was 50,000 houses being built a year. Everyone from the ESRI to the construction industry, everyone says, we need a minimum of 50,000 houses every year. So if we need that, why is the government's targets 33 or 34 for this year? The minister has set targets so low that every local authority can reach them. And I give you this last point. Local authorities have written to the minister to say they've reached all the, they'll reach all the social housing targets and they'll reach all the cost rental, so we don't be putting them up.
All right. Gabby, the this is going to go to a vote tomorrow, and one of the concerns has been about numbers. Thomas Gould was saying there that the regional independents had written the government counter-motion, which James Lawless rejects, but there has been a fair bit of their ask included in it in order to get their support, hasn't there?
Yeah, very much so. So I think the regional independents sort of seem to be indicating tonight, Fiona Murphy saying that they need further clarification from the government, Michael Lowry saying that he'll back the government, Michael Healy-Ray saying that he'll go against it. Normally he backs the government. We know, of course, Nasa Horgan from her piece in Sunday Independent at the weekend, she's not going to vote with the government. She's going to vote with Sinn Féin on this. We're not clear on the other Green Party rebel, if you can call him that, Patrick Costello. The indication last week was that he would support the government. Not sure if that still is the case. There's a couple of issues at play. Another one emerging tonight, and it's this issue of pairing, of course, if some TDs can't make it to the Dáil for the votes for different arrangements, such as paternal, if they've got, you know, parental responsibilities, for example. They usually pair, government TD pair with an opposition TD. Violet Ann Wynn, who was Sinn Féin TD, now independent, she used to be paired with the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, who's currently on maternity leave. Violet Ann Wynn saying this evening that there's no way that she can vote in support of the government on this issue, and so she's dissolved that pairing. She's going to vote with the, I suppose, to extend the eviction ban. Also this issue of Joe Carey, the Fine Gael TD, he was rushed to hospital recently with heart problems. Not sure what the issue is there. Basically, the line from the Chief Whip's office, Hildegard Nocton, spokesperson, saying that the government is looking to find alternative arrangements on the Helen McEntee question. So the government is basically scrambling, I suppose, to try and make those votes.
And we're hearing from the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting tonight. Maybe James Lawless, you can enlighten us further on this. There were calls from TDs John Lahart and Eamon O'Queeve, as well as Senator Mary Fitzpatrick, calling for significant consequences for any government TD opposing the coalition's counter-motion on ending the eviction ban. You'd agree with that sentiment, would you, James Lawless?
Of course. You're either in or out. You can't be half on defence if you're in government. And look, at all TDs, this is a question people often get asked, or I often get asked, or I often wonder myself before I was in politics, oh, how can you just toe the party line? The reality is that you don't. You go into a party meeting, you have your voice, and so do your colleagues, and you make a collective decision. But when you come out of the room, you all get behind the collective decision. I think that's only fair. It's a democratic way to do it. I'm disappointed to hear about the pairing for Helen McEntee. I think if we're serious about having arrangements to progress parents in politics and women in politics and mothers in politics, as is the case of the minister, it can't be, you know, only when it suits. And there's a difficult vote, so actually I'm going to cancel the pair.
What's a serious consequence? You're talking about losing a committee chairpersonship. You're talking about losing the party whip for longer than 6 months.
Well, a number of us, the long term. Well, I anyway would have felt that it was a little bit risible when the Green Party, including one junior minister, voted against the government at the start of the term. And their admonishment was a four-week speaking ban, 3 of which weeks the Dáil was in recess. I mean, that's not a punishment.
Right. Risible. Strong words for your coalition colleagues.
Well, I think at this stage, look, it was at the start of the term, and I think probably everyone settled down a bit. Look, there probably were some are newer to the government than others, and some, you know, so look, I suppose the whole ship settled down after that. But I think if we're being honest about it, and I expect perhaps even the people involved would say it now, to get a speaking ban for 4 weeks when 3 of those weeks the chamber is not even in session is a 1 week ban, if we're being honest about it. And for a junior minister to vote against their own government, it's something I wouldn't do it.
Okay. All right, Cian O'Callaghan on this. Have you heard from independents, even TDs in government, about their level of comfort with supporting the government on this one?
I think what's very noticeable about this is you can see the government are really under pressure on this. And actually, the way that they're defending this, you would usually see when the government is under pressure on something, a very strong defence of their position. You can tell often that, you know, while you may not agree with their position, that they are speaking from conviction. When you see them on this, I think it'd be fair to say a lot of the government TDs or ministers aren't 100% wholehearted in this. At least some of them appear to be in two minds. There seem to be a bit of self-doubt there. I mean, the Taoiseach himself, when he was defending his decision in the Dáil, said it could be the wrong decision that the government made. And that's not the usual talk from the government. So I think it's a very uncomfortable position for them. I think they get, you know, they get a lot of them at least get the huge pressure people are under on this. And I think there is a worry there that this could, you know, from a government point of view, I think some of them are worried that this could be the wrong decision, that they're going to see homeless figures increase month after month, and that this is going to contribute to it. So I don't think it's like other things we've seen in the Dáil before, and I don't think it's a simple numbers thing or different parties or different groups. I think there is a realisation about how serious this is. And I, you know, the government were briefing up until days before this decision that it could well be extended and could be extended for 2 years. So there was clearly a strong current in government thinking that that was the way to
briefly
go. And we actually heard very little about how they very quickly then changed their mind on it or why. And I think it'd be useful to hear more about that.
Thomas Gould.
James talks about honesty. You have government backbenchers coming out and have been for the last couple of weeks calling for this to be reinstated. You have government backbenchers openly criticising the government. I was in the Dáil chamber last week and there was a government TD stood up and criticised his government colleagues inside the chamber. What we're talking about, conviction, like, for the life of me, I cannot understand why they came to this decision. And the only reason I can get to it and is that the big landlords, the big investment funds, the big vulture funds, someone got to the government and said, we need this. And the last point I would make...
That is, you'll admit, in the absence of any clear answer, that's speculation.
But can I say
this
now? A week before this was announced, everyone thought, and Cian was telling Gabby that it would be extended. But I would say this last point.
That's not the case, actually.
I challenge local Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs in Cork to come on and to debate the abandoned evictions.
Okay, well, you're on national radio now.
I wouldn't come on with me. Owen Brink came on KFM with me because I don't know where
you're on national.
They disappeared.
You're on national radio together.
I was on Brink on local radio. Your two were gone missing.
You're on national radio now.
But I had the opposite experience. I had the champagne guys on hiding.
We're going to take a break. We're back after this.